As we meditate on the words we've just been singing, oh, how shall I, whose native sphere is dark, whose mind is dim, before the ineffable appear, and on my naked spirit bear the uncreated beam. This is something, of course, we cannot do in and of ourselves, because we live in a fallen and a sinful world, and we ourselves are part of that problem. We too are sinful. And because of that, we are therefore by nature estranged between ourselves and God. I said in the service this morning, we're going to look at the subject of atonement this evening as one aspect of what the Lord Jesus has accomplished on the cross. And we just need to meditate on it for a few moments tonight. I'm not going to be able to say everything there is upon it, and neither can I go through all what we have just read from Leviticus, which is, as you probably agree, quite complicated. But what we do need to bring is the main points for us this evening. And this estrangement can over be overcome, of course, through what Jesus has achieved for sinners on the cross. If you look at the word atonement and just split it up and take it as three phrases, really, at one meant, it means bringing the two together to make them one. And so therefore that's what atonement really is about. And therefore, to approach a holy God, we must therefore come on his terms. And to do that, our sin must be atoned for, or better still, our sin must be covered. And it must be covered to take it out of the sight of a holy God, in order that it no longer provokes the wrath of God. Sin makes God angry, incurs his wrath. A holy God can have nothing to do with sin. He must punish sin. He must do that. And so, therefore, sin must be covered. And the only way that it can be covered for us is through the blood. In the Old Testament, of course, it was the blood of an animal, of bulls and goats and so forth. Of course, in the New Testament, and those animals pointed forward to the one great atonement that was to be made by our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, through his precious blood. And so either our sins are covered by his blood, and we can be at one meant with God, or our sins are on us, and we have to pay for them ourselves. The Bible reminds us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So the wonderful thing is tonight for us is to know that our sins are forgiven. So we'll just look briefly at Leviticus this evening to see something of how it worked out in the Old Testament, but to take the major things and bring them into the New Testament for ourselves this evening. Leviticus has been dealing here up till now with sins that make people unclean before God. We see that chapters 11 to 15 have been dealing with various forms of uncleanness. And all of these sins all render us unfit for the very presence of God. God, of course, made provision for this in the Old Testament through the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. And this happened on one day of the year. And Orthodox Jews still remember this to this day. And in fact, they'll be doing that on Friday, the 11th of October this year, sundown on Friday, 11th of October, and ending at nightfall on the 12th, that is, the Sabbath. So it's still continued here. But of course, they're looking back to their Old Testament roots, and so we look back to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we must remember again that we live this side of the cross. The Old Testament, only the high priest could come into the presence of God, and only he could come in once a year for the Day of Atonement. In other words, you couldn't approach God yourself. If you were a Jew and you went up to the temple in Jerusalem, you could only go so far and no further. There would be a great no entry sign there. You could not go into the Holy of Holies. Why? Because you were a sinner. And if you did go in, you would incur the wrath of God and be immediately burnt there. That's what would happen to you. Could not come there. There was this great no entry sign there that no one could approach God. And they could only approach God, and only the high priest could approach God, if he brought sacrifice with him at this point. And of course, that sacrifice means blood. And so here is the high priest, in this case Aaron, and he is about to enter the Holy of Holies, which contained the Ark of the Covenant, which was the symbol of the presence of God. And as I say, he was only allowed in once a year. What has triggered all this, of course, is the sadness of the death of his two sons, because they didn't approach God in the right way. And so God is using this from the past, really, to say, this is the way that you are to come into your presence. And what does Aaron have to do? Well, it's a little bit complex, really, but the first thing he has to do here in order to come into God's holy presence, and remember that he is the high priest, and the high priest represents the people of Israel at that time, so he's representative there. He comes in representing all the people of the Israelites there. He must, first of all, prepare himself, and to do that he must make himself acceptable to God. He cannot make atonement for the people of God until he has made atonement for himself, because at the end of the day, Aaron, the person here, is a sinner. He is unclean as well. He cannot enter the presence of God unless his sin has been atoned for. And so first of all, he has to deal with himself, and that meant he had to take off his beautiful robes, his ornamental robes and so on, the Urim and Thummim and all the things, the turban and things, and put on just ordinary linen clothes. He just had to wear those instead before he entered the very presence of God. And then when he did eventually go in, he would then have to go in with incense. He would have to wave the incense and take the blood of the offering. He would have to kill a bull and offer that for himself. And so we see then that Aaron went into the holy place, and the smoke from the incense would cover the mercy seat so that he would not see, was not able to see, upon that mercy seat, the very presence of God there. So there he is, he's gone in. On behalf of himself, he's had to make atonement for himself. You notice that in verses 11 to 14 there. And he is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will cover the atonement cover above the testimony, so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with his fingers sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. And then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. So therefore Aaron had to do this first of all. And then we read, going further, that he will slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people. So now he does this on behalf of the people, and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. And in this way he will make atonement for the holy place. Even the holy place in the tabernacle, as it was in those days, even that was unclean and had to be atoned for. And so he will do this because of the uncleanness and the rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He's to do the same for the tent of meeting as well. No one else is to be in there apart from Aaron. And then he shall come out to the altar before the Lord and make atonement for that as well. So you could see that there was a great procedure here that he had to go through. He had to do those things for himself and on behalf of the people. And so, therefore, it was very important that he did all these things because of the burning holiness of the Lord. And that's a question we must stop and answer, ask ourselves really here tonight. We feel ourselves as Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6. We can feel our uncleanness. Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And that's something that affects us all tonight. And therefore, it's wonderful to know that offering that has been made that will take away our uncleanness here. So we read on here. Remember that he has taken, I should have said this earlier, two goats, one for the sin offering, which he's used, and now he is to take one which is a live goat. He's to use that now in verses 20 onwards. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it to the desert. And so this goat, this live goat, has the sins of the people of Israel, all of them laid upon him, symbolically laid upon that goat. And the goat is then taken outside the camp, and it's taken and allowed to go far away into the wilderness. And so it carries away the guilt of the Israelites. Their sins, it's gone, they're taken away forever there. Well, not quite forever, because Aaron had to repeat this once every year for the people of Israel. And therefore, we see that those goats, that goat rather, has taken away the sin. It's removed that sin. It's taken it away altogether, or completely gone. So we have the two goats. One is being for the offering of sin, and the other is the removal of sin, of taking it away, and so forth. So here is the atonement, as it was very quickly and simply put, in the day of the Old Testament, in the day of the high priest there, Aaron. So the whole thing was to emphasize, the whole ritual was to emphasize that sin must be punished, it must be put away. The sprinkling of the blood was to propitiate the wrath of a holy God. In other words, it was to satisfy the wrath of God against sin. And also, the sin must be removed out of sight. The live goat signifies the removal of sin. Now, there is no direct correlation, really, between this and what happened on the cross, but nevertheless, it is very much there in the front. The Old Testament, of course, the sacrifices could only take the people of Israel so far. But in the New Testament, the sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of God, can cleanse our guilty consciences. In the Old Testament, it was simply so far. It just cleansed them. It cleansed the flesh, by purifying it. But here, with the Lord Jesus Christ, it cleanses our guilty consciences and gives us forgiveness of sins. Let me just draw three simple parallels from the New Testament work of the Lord Jesus this evening. And when Jesus died on the cross, firstly, access to the temple. Remember in the time of Jesus, there was the temple, which did the same function as the tabernacle earlier on in the Old Testament. There was this great curtain there in the Old Testament, which screened off the holy place. Couldn't go behind that apart from the high priest and so on. But now that curtain was torn in two, pulled apart, and it showed, it signifies the way into God's presence was open. In other words, there is access into the presence of God. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He cried out with a loud voice, gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. So we see then that what Jesus did was achieved access for all those who believe on him and repent of their sin into the presence of God. Unhindered presence. You can come into his presence now knowing that sacrifice has made atonement for our sins. And then secondly too, we could draw a contrast here between the work of Aaron and the Lord Jesus. Aaron, of course, entered an earthly tabernacle, and Christ entered the heavenly tabernacle. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands, that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. And then Aaron had to offer sacrifices for his own sin. But Jesus was sinless. He didn't have to offer sacrifices for himself. Aaron could only offer the blood of bulls and goats as a sacrifice, but Christ offered his own blood. Aaron had to repeat the sacrifices annually. Christ offered himself once and for all. Aaron's sacrifice could only offer temporary atonement. Christ secured permanent forgiveness. So we could see then the parallels and the contrast there between the Old Testament and the New Testament too. What a great privilege we have and enjoy tonight that the people of God in the Old Testament never really enjoyed. Yes, they saw shadows of it. Yes, they saw things in picture form. But here we have the reality of it for ourselves tonight. Jesus offered up himself on that cross to be a sacrifice for our sins. And then thirdly, we could also see a parallel with the scapegoat there. The scapegoat had the sins of Israel confessed over it. Our sins were laid on Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then Jesus bears away our sins. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Jesus died on a cross outside the city wall. Hebrews 13:12. And so Christ also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. So we see that, therefore, that Jesus removed our sins far away. Buried, as says the hymn writer, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. So therefore, as we meet together as a company of God's people here tonight, we just need to think about what is happening here. There is no other way we could come into God's presence tonight apart from what these emblems remind us about, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Only he, as the hymn writer puts it, could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Jesus alone, who is sinless, fulfills all the requirements of a perfect high priest for us and sacrifice. He alone has effectively taken our sins away. Hallelujah, what a Saviour.